Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Fit at any age. Today on Advanced. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's advanced program. Today is May 27th, and we are looking at our health article for this month. The article is entitled Fit for Life at Any Age. And here today to help me discuss this article is Rhonda. Welcome, Rhonda.
Hello, Linda. Thanks for having me. And I'm really glad that it's you and I together talking about this article because we often talk about
fitness.
Your athletic endeavors, athletic being a little different from fitness because you actually compete as an athlete.
Sometimes, yeah. In amateur competitions, yeah. Nowhere near anything professional.
You're not going to the Olympics.
No, unfortunately, I am not Olympic level.
But Linda has been into dragon boat races.
Yes, so that's... I have. And I think our listeners know that. Yeah, so I talk a lot about fitness, and we actually used to do midday, afternoon, or lunchtime workouts together. You joined our little lunchtime workout group for a little while. But I think it was a little too intense for you.
Yes. In fact, wasn't the workout called high intensity
interval training?
Interval training.
Yeah, we did HIIT exercises, HIIT.
Yes.
Yeah. And Rhonda discovered that those HIIT exercises were not to her level. And that's our whole topic today,
right?
Adjusting your workout to your age, to your conditions, but making sure that you still work out. Because Rhonda, you still get your exercise in, right?
That's right. I walk and I hike and I always take the stairs at work. I never take the elevator. The high intensity was the problem for me because as you get older, the sudden movements required of certain sports, you are more likely to strain something, potentially break something, but that those quick, sudden movements I found were not suitable for my age.
Right. And above anything, we want to prevent injury. That is primary because as we get older, recovery takes longer. In addition to adjusting our workout schedule and what the exercises that we can do, we have to take recovery into consideration. So, Rhonda, are there any things as you've gotten older that you used to do that you can't really do anymore or you don't do anymore?
Yes, I used to run and bike a lot. I did some triathlons when I lived in Southern California, so running, biking, swimming.
That's intense.
It's intense. Well, and I loved to run when I was younger. I was doing them in my 50s, but the last time I tried to throw some, I'll call it jogging, into my walks just to jog a little bit, my knees really hurt the next day. And I thought, I think this is beyond just, stretch a little more or strengthen those muscles that support your knees. It really felt like that repeating motion of my knees bending was just not going to be good for them.
Right. And as much as we don't want to admit it, we are aging and we have to take that into consideration. We can't keep doing the same things that we've always done since we were young, or at least not at the same intensity. So we'll be talking about that in our article today, and our article does focus on older adults, but it applies to everyone because we should start having good, healthy habits when we're younger. It's much easier to carry out if you start them early, these exercise habits and healthy habits that will carry you into the rest of your life and make you healthier for it. So let us hear our first reading now.
Fit for life at any age. tips for exercising safely and effectively as your body grows older. Throughout life's many stages, finding and sticking to a fitness routine can be complicated. Whether you struggle to find the right time or place, it seems like there's always something hindering you from getting that perfect schedule down. As you age, the workouts may not come as easy as they used to. Certain times of day that used to be optimal now lead to extreme discomfort. And one major drawback may be finding a new spot to work out after a move from your longtime community. These problems, however, should never stop you from pursuing your fitness goals. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the benefits of a consistent workout routine may be even greater for people 65 or older. In the short term, it can improve older adults' sleep quality, anxiety levels, and blood pressure. As the years go on, consistent fitness can assist in cancer prevention, maintaining a healthy weight, and living independently longer.
So we are given this deck, tips for exercising safely and effectively as your body grows older. So that is sort of what the article is about, adjusting. As we get older, we need to adjust how we exercise in order to do it safely and effectively. And the article opens up with, throughout life's many stages, finding and sticking to a fitness routine can be complicated. And we have this phrasal verb here, stick to. When you stick to something, what do, Rhonda?
You keep doing it because you said you would do it.
Yes.
Or because you said, I believe in this. So stick to it, we say.
Yes. And it's usually something that is not that easy to continue doing. There's some difficulty in doing it. So that's why you have to use effort. You have to make yourself stick to it. And we did encounter a word similar to this earlier in the month, adhere. So if you adhere to doing something, you follow it, you stick to it. Adhere, it's much more, there's more effort required because, like, I need to stick to a healthy diet or I need to stick to a reading plan or this exercise plan, but I don't need to stick to making sure I scroll on my phone or that I waste time watching
TV,
right?
That's right.
Yeah. We probably need to stick to not looking at our phone so often or looking at my phone and scrolling or watching TV. So, yeah, it requires some sort of difficulty. All right, so whenever you struggle to find the right place or time, it seems like there's always something hindering you from getting that perfect schedule down. I think this describes so many of us. There's always something to hinder us, to prevent us from executing our exercise schedule, our fitness routine.
And it says getting it down. There's another phrasal verb, right, Linda? Getting it down. So it's like perfecting it, making it a good plan.
Right, executing it.
So getting down the consistency. We'll talk about consistency.
Exactly. Consistency, yes, is so important. But there are always things that hinder our consistency. There are always things there. Excuses are so plentiful. You can find any excuse in the book to prevent you from going to the gym or to prevent you from exercising. Yeah, I feel like there's an endless amount of excuses that I can come up with why I won't go to exercise.
And hindering doesn't mean stops you. It means something is in the way. There's a resistance to it, hindering.
It's an obstacle.
I wanted to go into the store, but there was a sign and it hindered me from going in. It was in my way.
Yeah. So you have to get over that hindrance, get over that obstacle to execute your exercise schedule. So as you age, the workouts may not come as easy as they used to. We are aware of this and we've experienced this, some of us. certain times of day that used to be optimal, that used to be ideal or just right, now lead to extreme discomfort. And I think everybody knows what discomfort is when you feel uncomfortable, you don't feel right. But what about extreme discomfort? What does that border on?
Pain.
Yeah.
That's another way to say I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I'm injured necessarily, but I feel a pain.
Yeah. And if you are in extreme discomfort, that probably means that you should not be doing whatever you're doing. You don't want extreme discomfort or pain from your exercise. So one major drawback may be finding a new spot to work out after a move from your longtime community. And that definitely can be a drawback. What is a drawback?
It's a disadvantage, some disadvantage that comes from the situation mm-hmm. or the plan. It, you know, it draws, pulls you back. So
right.
that is a drawback.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
some of the drawbacks can be finding a new spot to work out if you've just moved. Although I have to say, when I came to Taipei, I saw that there were so many opportunities to exercise.
Yeah.
So I don't have an excuse
mm-hmm.
because even early morning in the park near my home, there are people older than me in their 80s that mm-hmm. are holding an exercise class.
Yeah.
So that drawback doesn't exist for me.
Right. It didn't exist for you. But drawback, use another way, one drawback to living abroad is that we don't get to see our family members that often. Well, you do, some of your family members, because you live with them, but all of my family members are in the States. So that is a big drawback from living abroad. But don't allow this drawback to prevent you from pursuing your fitness goals. Don't let anything stop you from pursuing your fitness goals, with the exception of injury, of course. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the benefits of a consistent workout routine may be even greater for people 65 or older. So we know that there are tons of benefits. We've done articles on this, the benefits of exercise, but you can receive even more benefits if you are older. So in the short term, it can improve what, Rhonda?
Older adults' sleep quality, anxiety levels, and blood pressure. Those are three things that older adults deal with. Sleep quality, a little less sleep sometimes when you're older. Anxiety and blood pressure. And as the years go on, consistent fitness, that regular fitness, can help cancer prevention, maintain a healthy weight, and even living independently. The ability to live mm-hmm. by yourself longer. You
yeah.
can still walk up those stairs.
Yeah.
You can still lift those things in your home. You don't need someone's help. So I need to stay fit now.
Yes.
Or the
need
years
to
ahead.
Be consistently fit or have consistent fitness, because that is a huge benefit, being able to live independently longer. You don't have to rely on anyone. You can live in your own house for longer and not have to go to retirement home or not have to live with anyone. So
I also noticed the phrase maintaining a healthy weight. Mm-hmm. We often talk about losing weight mm-hmm. or gaining weight. Here, maintaining means keeping your weight
right
at the healthy place. Mm-hmm. I like that word, maintaining a healthy weight.
Yes. And we can also use it to maintain a consistent fitness routine. So there are many ways you can do that, and we'll talk about that in our next reading.
Do the talk test. While your body changes, your fitness routine should change along with it. If the workouts you have always done seem harder now, that may be a sign that your body can no longer do the same things safely. To continue working your body in similar ways, monitor your condition as you work out. One way to check on yourself during a workout is a simple talk test, as described by Dr. Michael Kraft, assistant professor in the Department of Family and Preventative Medicine at Emory University. Making sure that you're able to talk throughout the activity is super important. If you start to become breathless, you're starting to go up into the higher heart rate zones. It is best to start any physical activity slowly and gradually work your way up to your limit, rather than the other way around. According to the National Institute of Aging, NIA, this can reduce injury and help to build confidence, motivation, and a regular routine.
Okay, so we learned that we do have to adjust our fitness routine as we get older. It was adjusted with our age because our body is going to experience changes, right? So our fitness routine should change along with it. And previously, we touched on consistency. Consistency is so important. And as you get older, intensity will be less important. Like we mentioned in our intro, like Rhonda discovered that our HIIT exercises were too intense, so she had to scale back. And it's important not to overdo things. Like you can go all out in a workout and feel really sore after, but then if you don't work out for like another 2 weeks, then it's not really benefiting you. It's about doing it consistently. So you can do less, but every other day or multiple times a week, then that will give you many more benefits or be much more beneficial than just going all out and then not keep doing it.
Right. It's not just the same way, but this, not just the same time, but the same way over time when we talk about being consistent, and the opposite is inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And right now, Linda, I have to say, I'm pretty inconsistent about my exercise.
Okay. So that's something that you have to improve on. Yes. I can be your accountability partner.
Okay. Well, great. Well, as I am your auntie age, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of look out for me. And that's what I love about being your friend, is that I can get your perspective.
So as we age, right, we are going to decrease intensity. And so this is where this talk test comes in to determine if your exercise is too intense. So if the workouts you have always done seem harder now, that may be a sign that your body can no longer do the same thing safely. To continue working your body in similar ways, monitor your conditions as you work out. And then they mention this way to check yourself during a workout, this simple talk test. And it comes from this doctor, Dr. Michael Kraft. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Family and Preventive Medicine at Emory University, which happens to be my alma mater. I went to Emory. It is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Did you study medicine there?
I did not. Yeah. I was in classes with many pre-meds, and some of them did go on to attend medical school at Emory, because Emory also has a medical school in addition to a business school.
What is a pre-med? Do you want to tell our listeners?
Pre-med is like...
Did you say with pre-med? So it's
So undergraduate. I did my undergraduate degree at Emory, and I was a biology major, so I had a lot of pre-meds. People planning to go to medical school. So if you're a pre-med, you had to take certain requirements. There were prerequisites for applying to medical school. And definitely biology was one. Chemistry, physics. So in those classes, I was with all pre-meds.
So it sounds like you're using the term, and I was an English major, so this is not my area. So mm-hmm. it sounds like when you say, I was a biology student, and in my class, there were some pre-meds. So two kinds of students in the class, people who were just in biology for another career, and then the medical school mm-hmm. students.
Yeah, who could also have majored in biology as well, or you know, one of the sciences, but their goal was to apply to medical school and become doctors.
What I notice about this paragraph is, I'm sure this is a great professor. He's obviously spoken about and cares about fitness, et cetera, but really his advice doesn't take medical expertise. Advice in this paragraph, and we can notice that it says a simple talk test. Mm-hmm. So he's reminding us that you don't need a complicated medical reason or a medical procedure to stay healthy and monitor your exercise.
Exactly.
Just see if you can talk without losing your breath through the activity.
Right. Yeah. He details it here. Making sure that you're able to talk throughout the activity is super important. If you start to become breathless, you start to become out of breath and start panting, then you're starting to go up into the higher heart rate zones. And we know that when we do cardio, right? Cardio exercises get our heart rate
yes.
up. But as you get older, you don't want to be breathless, out of breath.
Yes, this was interesting to me because when I was training for half marathons, et cetera, and that's a low-level athleticism. My son was a college-level distance runner, and I think of the breathlessness as a sign that you're really going all out, and that's going to happen because you're just using all you have to get across the finish line. So I stopped when I saw this sentence, and I thought, oh, I used to watch my son just be breathless after a race. And I didn't think, oh, no, he shouldn't have run so fast.
Well,
so this
if you're young and healthy. It's fine. And you're training
and
for
you're
competition.
Training. That's what's different because there's a difference between, as it says at the beginning of this reading, a fitness routine or a training routine, a training program. So a fitness routine is for regular people who want to stay healthy. And I think that is important to see a difference between fitness or even just the word exercising and training.
Right.
So
if you are specifically training for a competition and you are healthy and it's okay, like you have the approval of your doctor to do these things, then yeah, go for it because you do want to push yourself. When you're younger, you want to surpass your PRs, your personal records, right? You want to do better every time. So you do push yourself and you are breathless. You don't overdo it because that will lead to injury, but you always want to be pushing your boundaries. But it changes as you get older. You don't want to be out of breath and pushing yourself because that will lead to injury.
Yes, I remember I was about 40 and I decided to do the Chicago Marathon. And very early on into the workouts when it was up to about 6 miles running with your team that you were training with, I got shin splints. Our readers can look that up. Painful pain in your shins from the tendons pulling away. And I was so frustrated. And I said to the coach, I remember this very well. I said, I'm a very fit person. I used to be able to just take off running with my kids. I said, now I can hardly get out of my car. I was really confused, like, why can I hardly walk now? And I remember her saying, and this is coming to an English lesson, there's a difference between fitness and training. There's a difference between exercise and training. And I've never forgotten that because it wasn't just that I was basically a fit person, so nothing should happen to me that makes me unable to walk. But she was saying, you're training now. You're repeatedly doing that exercise. So this article is about fitness and general health and the need to stay healthy. And you don't want to become breathless, you know, losing the ability to breathe comfortably if you're getting up there in years.
Right. So this is something that your fitness is something that you want to maintain, you want to be consistent about, and that you can do on a daily basis. And this simple talk test will determine if you are overdoing it. So don't want to become breathless. And he goes on to tell us maybe a good way to start any physical activity. How should we do that, Rhonda?
Slowly and gradually work your way up to your limit. So don't do as much as you can and gradually add or get more intense. Work your way up to your limit.
Yes.
Rather than the other way around. The other way around means the opposite.
You would start really hard.
Start really hard and then say, oh, I'd better cut back. I'd better do less.
Decrease it.
So that's a really good sentence. Work your way up to your limit, rather than the other way around.
Yeah. And the key word here is gradual.
Like, yes.
Gradually do it so that you'll find your limit without going to the extremes. Because again, going to the extremes will probably end up in injury or pain of some sort. And that's what you want to avoid. But again, if you are an athlete, if you are young and healthy, then you can go. You can do the other way, you know. But gradually working your way up would also be a good way. So you find your limit. You find where your optimal, your ideal speed or intensity is. So this information comes from the National Institute of Aging, of course, is in the U.S., the NIA. And so they're saying this can reduce injury and help to build confidence, motivation, and a regular routine. So these are all of the goals that we want, right? We want to build up confidence, we want to be motivated, and we want this to be a regular thing, a consistent thing. So this is good advice.
Well, I feel inspired, and this also helps me to understand maybe why my knees hurt, because mm-hmm. I decided one day to jog, and I hadn't been jogging. I did it the other way around.
Oh,
I started.
You went hard.
Hard. I should have gradually worked my way up mm-hmm. to a comfortable level instead of starting hard to see what I can do.
Yeah. I know a lot of people do that. I tend, as far as running, I tend to jog at a pace where I definitely can talk. I have no problem talking, but I tend to stay at that pace. I don't push myself. So I'm still at an age where I can push myself, so I should be doing it. But I just like that pace where I can talk and have no problem.
Right. Well, that's why you've been able to stay athletic for so long, because you really do train at a high level, and I admire that very much.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. But yes, one of the main reasons is that I don't want to get injured, because injury is so terrible that we have.
Like, yes.
And we don't want you guys to get injured either. But we will continue this conversation, so please come back tomorrow. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.